read, I can't remember exactly where it was, that it is more difficult to preach a 10-minute sermon than it is a 2-hour sermon. And that is very true. Anybody can get up and talk, but can you say what you need to say in a short period of time? That's the question. I'm still working on that one. So today, I remembered I had talked with Catherine. I was gone. I'm like, man, I need to be a little more concise today. But I want to start into it just probably 2 weeks, because we'll be this week and then next week, and then Cassandra and I will be going to Israel for a couple of weeks, and we've got some people covering for us while we're gone. But throughout the summer, I've been really just kind of chewing on Psalms 23 through the whole. And so Catherine mentioned, so very interesting. This morning I came in, I always come in a little early, just kind of check stuff with sound. And we have prayer time from 9 to 9:30, but Jim's usually here early. He's here at 8:30. And so we'll just have some music going. We'll visit a little bit. But during that time, I'm up kind of typing on the computer a little bit, trying to get some stuff online ready. And the Keith Green Psalms 23 came on. And I'm sitting listening, I'm going, oh wow, God. We're gonna minister on Psalms 23. We're gonna walk through and talk about it. And Catherine today, just God's purpose, our identity in Christ. And really that's what I want to touch on today. I just, as I looked at this, I opened this up to begin to just prepare for Sunday, and I kind of had to put it down and say, well, God, I got a lot of thoughts about this, a lot I've been chewing on, but what is it that you're saying to us? And so I put it down and took a little nap, and then I went and took a shower. And when I came back, God had really given me some direction. So we're going to pick up with that. I want to read Psalms 23. You know, this is probably one of the best known passages of the scripture literature. If you were, whether you're in the church or out of the church, I've found that just a lot of people have heard this, whether it came through a song or at a service or somebody in a hard time, they just pick this up, they see it, and so very well known, has ministered to me again and again and again. This is a passage of scripture the Spirit of God continually takes me back to, but this summer, I have just been praying this again and again and again, and stanzas from it and pieces from it here and there, and God just making this alive in what he has been doing in this season. So I just want to read this. I'm going to read from the New American Standard. It says this, Psalms 23, a psalm of David. A psalm of David. Who better to know about being a shepherd than David? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you want, as we study, I'll kind of go from the New American Standard to the New King James. I like, especially when we get close to the end, the New King James says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we'll go back and forth. If you want to write one of those down, I will have them up on the screen too. But like I said, I've been chewing on this psalm from May, really, until the present. And we just want to take a couple of weeks to draw some lessons that I have been learning as I prayed and practiced the application of this psalm. You know, if you've heard me say anything over the last 6 months, it's that of application. I don't care what you know, if you don't apply it, it's worthless. Faith without application is dead. You can memorize the whole Bible. Let me tell you something. The devil knows the Bible better than you do. You want to know what he doesn't do? He doesn't apply it. Well, he does, but not for your good. Right? He twists it and he turns it, and we succumb to that. But I didn't want this just to be a prayer. I didn't want this just to be something I said in my head or in a space. I wanted this to be something that was applied and daily. I saw it being lived out in my life, because Scripture is not just truth. It's livable. It's livable. It was meant to be lived. It wasn't just made to be known. It was meant to be lived. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life." He didn't say, "I came that you might be smart." Come on. Amen. Right? Some of the strongest people that I have ever known in the faith probably knew the least. But what they knew, they applied. And there is just a solidness in that, an unshakableness, because that is what Jesus said. He who hears these words of mine, doesn't say he who memorizes all of this. It just said he who hears. He didn't even say how much you're going to hear. He said the key is that when you hear, you apply. So if you know little, that doesn't mean that you're little in the faith. If you apply, you have great faith. But if you don't apply, your faith is dead, right? Because knowledge puffs up, right? And what does Jesus say, or Scripture says about the end times? That in the end times, knowledge will abound, right? There are going to be a lot of smart people, but their love will be cold, and they're not going to be people of application. They're just going to be people of learning, right? And what does James warn us about? Don't be a heedless hearer, but be an active, I'd like to say, applier. He says doer, but it's an active applier. So, let's find some application for this psalm. We all know it, or parts of it, but how do we apply it? How do we apply it? The very first line of this psalm is a statement that we could spend weeks on. It's weeks on. There is so much in the very first line of this psalm. If we were to unpack it, we're not going to do that, but I am going to spend a little bit of time on it today. The Lord is my shepherd. These five words in the center of the first verse wield dynamic power and promise for every person who would call on the name of the Lord. So I want to consider this statement in us and how we relate to it. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. When I read and rehearse this statement, I gain a strong sense of my identity and relationship to God. Now, Catherine talked about our purpose, our identity in Christ. Have you ever known somebody who was in an identity crisis? They get weird. Huh? Have you ever known somebody going through a midlife? They get weird. Like, why are you dressed like that? What happened to your hair? Did you fall into a makeup truck? Why are you eating that? Aren't you a little old for that car? Right? People get weird when they lose a sense of their identity. And can I tell you, as a group of people, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, if we do not understand our identity and our relationship to God, we will have an identity crisis and we will start acting weird. And let me tell you, we may not notice. We may think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread or whatever you think the greatest thing is. But the world knows. Like, what happened to them? Like, they used to look like this, but now they look like this. What happened to the solidness of their identity and their relationship to God? Can I tell you that that is what we need to know, and that is what the world needs to see, because it hasn't changed. God has not changed. His relationship to us has not changed. And our identity has not changed in 2,000 years. But it's just funny how when you're going along and all of a sudden you're not seeing the things happening that you thought would happen. Isn't that kind of what triggers an identity crisis in people's lives? Like all of a sudden they have this realization, man, I'm this age. I don't know what's happened. I need to make something happen. I need to change a bunch of stuff. And really what you need to do is you just need to weather that and come through on the other side and go, no, you know, now I just see for certain who I really am, right? We need to see for certain who we are. And this first little stanza in Psalms 23 tells us so much about our identity and relationship to God. So take it apart and simple. God is the shepherd. He's the shepherd. Come on now. We're in Psalms 23. You don't have to guess. Just read the first line. God is the Lord is the shepherd. He's the shepherd. He's the shepherd, right? So simple. Sounds so simple, but there's always more to it because we all process through a lens. You know, one of the greatest dangers is that we have heard this so many times. We have rehearsed it so many times that we just look at it flat and we need to let it come alive again. We need to let it come alive again. There's so much life in this there. We need to see it new again. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Don't check out. Oh, Pastor Brent, Psalms 23. Don't check out on me. Stay here. With me. Are you with me? I think you're with me. Jim's with me. I just got to get him to read the text. All right. The Lord is my shepherd. God is the shepherd. So let me say a few things about the shepherd. I've never been a shepherd. I've known people who are shepherds. Cecil knew somebody very well who was a shepherd. His grandfather, or was it your dad? His grandpa was a shepherd over near Belt. And got a spring storm and said, that's enough, and packed up his family and took him to Oregon. So, shepherd, there's a few things about the shepherd. In some cases, not always, but in this case, the shepherd is the owner of the sheep. He owns the sheep. At least, if you're working for someone else, you are in charge of the sheep. You are the boss of the sheep. Amen? Right? He's the sheep boss. Right? Now, a sheep boss could have been a guy over a bunch of other herders or shepherds as well, but in this case, the shepherd is the owner. He is the boss of the sheep. He is the one with the vision for the sheep. When you think about that, he knows where the sheep need to go. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the pasture. He knows the streams. He knows the supply. He has the vision for the sheep. He goes, this is why I own these sheep. He is the shepherd. He's the one with the plan to get the sheep to the place where they will prosper under his care. I said, well, I told you Catherine set me up. Like he knows the purpose. He knows the plan, right? How many of you know that God knows the plan? How many of you didn't live this week like God knew the plan? He is the one who has responsibility to run the show. Man, I'll tell you what, I've said this before, but there's so many times that all of a sudden, God goes, let me relieve you of that responsibility to be in charge, to run the show, to try to make things work out. He goes, you just don't know. You can't see what I see. You don't have what I have. I am the shepherd. I am the shepherd. Let me lead you. Let me work for you. I don't know what it is. When I started out in my relationship of faith, I knew that I had nothing to offer to God. That's why I stood there at that altar, broken, empty. Realizing I was a sinner, I had nothing to offer God, and I'm standing there asking for mercy, understanding that he had everything I needed. What happened to that? Where did that go? Like, has something changed? When I accepted Christ, did I all of a sudden have something to offer God? Nothing changed. I stood at the best place I ever stood, independence, saying, God, you're everything and I'm nothing. He's the shepherd. Nothing's changed. But somehow or another, I get it in my head that I got to go out and do something for God, as if maybe I'm the shepherd. Maybe I need to go wrangle some sheep. Maybe I need to go straighten some people out. You know what I need to do when I start feeling like that? We're going to practice that. We're the sheep. We're the sheep. He's the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll tell you what. As I have prayed that this summer, it has just sunk down into my soul. I go, oh God, I feel so rotten today. Oh God, I'm messing it up so bad today. Meh. I'm just a sheep. God, you know I'm a sheep. You're the shepherd. Why am I trying to put on the shepherd's coat? You're my shepherd. I depend upon you. God is the shepherd. I am the sheep. It doesn't say that there, but David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, he cannot be your shepherd if you are not part of a flock. Now, we're gonna do some things. I want to do some things today. I really want to make a relationship in here because I want to show you that shepherds did not just shepherd sheep. Those were shepherded goats. And Jesus, in his ministry, draws from the imagery of Psalms 23 in so many places when he speaks to his people and he tells them how we will relate to the shepherd and how he will relate to us. But we get to make a choice if we want to be a sheep or we want to be a goat. I want to be a sheep. So let's just say for all practical purposes, I have great faith that you all will choose to be sheep. So if he is the shepherd, then I am a sheep. All right, let's all say it together. If he is a shepherd, then I am a sheep. And maybe it would be better if when I asked that, if you all just went, meh. Let's practice that. Meh. That was weak, but we'll get better. I got it down pretty good. I've been practicing all summer. Hell, I like it, man. If I close my eyes, I almost can smell you, right? All right, here we go. I'm the sheep. My part is very simple as a sheep, and it's twofold. And I put one first because a shepherd, Jesus does address this in the New Testament. When you talk about a shepherd, you never talk about individual sheep unless the sheep has wandered off. You always talk about a community. And so when you talk about the shepherd, you're talking about the community, right? I am, my part is twofold. And one, can I say this? If I am not willing to deal with what I can see, how will I ever deal with what I cannot see? If I cannot honor God and the things that he's put before me that I can touch and feel, how will I ever honor a God that I can't see, touch, taste, or feel? And so number one, like a shepherd, you know what he wants from his sheep more than anything? He wants them to stay in community. He didn't want his sheep wandering off, does he? Matter of fact, I would say that's probably one of the most aggravating things to a shepherd is when sheep wander off. You want to know why? Because that's when they're in danger. And he does care for the sheep, but he knows when you stay in community, there is safety there, but you're also remaining under my cover as the shepherd because I am the shepherd and I watch over the flock. I care about you all individually, but I want you in community. And so our part, when we acknowledge that he is shepherd, is one, we need to stay in community. Two, we need to stay in step with the shepherd. And the community tends to do that. And Jesus, again, in John chapter 10, we're going to study, John records an entire, what we call a chapter. It was part of a conversation that started in John 12. But Jesus spends this entire block to describe his relationship to us as a shepherd in John 10. Powerful, and he's drawing from this. He's bringing this out again. I'm the shepherd, you are the sheep, or you're the goats, one of the two. He brings that out in some other places, and we'll look at that. But I'm a sheep. Very simple, stay in community and follow the leading of the shepherd. And I put here, and this is really, I think, kind of the point today, is that the church, especially in the West, whether it's Western Europe or the United States, Canada, struggles intensely with an identity crisis. We're having an identity crisis. We've forgotten who we are. You walked into a mainstream church and pulled anybody aside and said, "Who are you in Christ?" "I'm victorious. I'm the head. I'm not the tail." I mean, you get a list of all kinds of things. I'll bet you 1 in 1,000 would say, "I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep." Sheep have qualities. They're not wolves. Jesus called us sheep. I can't find any place in Scripture. Now, I know this is going to rattle some people's cages, and it might even mess up your theology, but you got to hear me through because I got the mic. We're compared to sheep. You know, we're told to put on the armor of Christ. We're told to stand firm. But I can't find anywhere in Scripture where God says you're supposed to be running ahead of me fighting enemies I've already defeated. I just can't find it. But what I do find him saying is, I want you dependent on me. I want sheep. I want sheep. You're the ones I came to die for, so that you could be set free to depend on me. Right? Man, Pastor, I don't know if I like that. God is opposed to the proud. Who does he give grace to? The humble. The humble. Sheep are very humble. I'll say this ahead of time. They're also stupid. Man, I'm so glad I'm a sheep. Like, right? God knew. Psalms, I don't remember if it's Psalms 103. It might be 103. It makes me laugh. I've got to tell you, I hope this doesn't offend you, but it's just so funny and it really happened. Scripture, and especially the Psalms, the psalmists talk to God and they petition God, they beg God, "God, please don't forget that I'm human," right? "You made me. You made me, and I know that you haven't forgotten that I'm human." And I think it's Psalms 103. And there's a line in there where the psalmist refers to himself as being dust and says, "God, don't forget I'm made of dust." I don't know if it's in the King James or where it is. You have to be very careful where you put the emphasis on words, because you can read a statement and it can come off totally wrong. And this gentleman, this happened up at Corum, Ken Ainsworth. I don't know if anybody remembers Ken. Cassandra and I are actually going to stay with them in Spokane. Ken was telling me this. One of his board members was reading. That was his assigned passage that morning. And he gets up and he reads this: "Lord, do not forget that we are but dust." The emphasis is, "Lord, do not forget that we are but dust." But I like to read it the other way because it makes me laugh, and sometimes it's just more appropriate. "God, I am but dust. Yes, please don't forget that. I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep." You know, there's a great confidence that comes in being a sheep, but when you lose your identity, you can get weird because you are still a sheep, but you begin to try to be something else that you were never meant to be. You can try to put on things that you were never meant to put on. You can exude a confidence that a sheep never would have had, because number one, it wasn't their job to do that. That was the job of the shepherd. "And the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." I want to let you in on a little secret. This identity and identity crisis, we struggle so hard to be in control of things, to wear the shepherd's mantle of authority and control, but our identity is really found in a humble attitude of submission to the shepherd. I don't know if there's greater power found in all the kingdom than there is in humble submission. What did the Lord speak through the prophet Habakkuk? Or Malachi? No, Nahum. I'll get it right. You know, it's on the fridge. These things the Lord requires of you, O man of God, that you love mercy, that you do justice, and that you walk humbly before your God. That is sheep-like behavior. And I am the sheep. He is the shepherd. So a little secret I'm learning is I have just processed this psalm through the summer, chewed on it again and again, and just speak a line and just meditate and think my time of prayer or throughout the day. So many times I've had to remind myself that the Lord is the shepherd, especially when I begin to worry. How am I going to work this out? How is this going to happen? The Lord is my shepherd. Like, he's got this. He knows the plan. I don't get it. I can't see it. That's okay. I'm just the sheep. It wasn't my job in the first place. My job is to walk humbly before him, to stay in community, to love kindness, do justice, those things that God has allowed me to partake of and participate in, things that he's prepared in advance for me to walk in. That's what I need to do. I don't have to make it all work out. That's the job of the shepherd. When the storms of life come crashing in, can I tell you that that's a certainty? Anybody with me there? Has anybody been able to avoid the storms this last couple of years? Is it because we did something wrong? Certainly, we found out where we hadn't been preparing or we hadn't been building on the word, right? Those things become evident, but the storms are just going to come. Jesus said that when he who hears these words of mine and does them is like a man who builds on the rock. And when the storm comes, he doesn't say that when you hear him and do him, the storm won't come. He says, no, certainly the storm will come. But when it comes, it will stand firm, right? It will stand firm. And so when the storms of life come crashing in, when things are uncertain and I'm not sure what to do, there is another certainty afoot. Here it is. This is the other certainty. Without fail, Satan and his cohorts will begin to try to use fear to undermine my confidence in God for the purpose of getting me out from under his shepherdly covering. Now, we spent a pile of time talking about the fear of missing out, right? And just kind of, that's a term that's appeared in our time, like 2004, I think, is when they say that really kind of became a thing, a hashtag. It wasn't a hashtag then, but we found it in Scripture, beginning to end, fear of missing out and how Satan uses that. And this is just another one of those things when the storms of life come and they come crashing in, Satan comes and he begins to whisper, him and his cohorts, they begin to talk. Right, they begin to talk, and the purpose of their talking is to get me to forget my identity and who I am, because like a sheep never fixed anything. Who's the fixer? The shepherd. Who works out the problems? The shepherd. Who runs the wolf off? The shepherd. Who determines the pasture? The shepherd. And Satan comes in and he goes, this is stupid. Like, this is what happened to the nation of Israel when they asked for a king. They're like, we are tired of having a shepherd that we can't see, we can't taste, we can't smell. Like, if we step in the wrong place, he sends snakes and scorpions and the ground opens up. Like, we never know what's going to happen. We're tired of this. Give us a man that we can tell what to do, because we'd kind of like to be in charge a little bit. That's what happened. It's still what's happened. Satan comes in and he begins to use fear because he wants us out from underneath the covering of the shepherd. What's James say? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. It's the picture of an umbrella. It's a picture of a covering. He says, come under the covering of God. He says, because when you do that, you are resisting the enemy, and he will flee. You want to know why? Because he's not dealing with you anymore. Who's he dealing with? The shepherd. And no wolf or lion or bear wants to see the shepherd, right? There is no better place you can be than a sheep under the covering of the shepherd. Without fail, the enemy will try to move us out. He will try to get us to forget our identity, right? And the identity that he wants us to embrace is what? That I'm the doer, that I'm supposed to be the strong one, that I'm supposed to be the one making all this happen, that I'm supposed to be the one running around and being busy and doing all of this. And the devil goes, yeah, keep doing that because you're going to get out there and I'll let you run a ways and then you're going to get tired and then I'm going to get you. You want to know why? It's not because God doesn't love me. It's not because God's mad at me. It's simply because I get out of community, I get out from underneath the covering of the shepherd, and I'm taking on an identity that I was never given. I forget who I am. I'm the sheep. He is the shepherd. And I can't find anywhere in Scripture where the sheep runs the show. The shepherd runs the show. Now, the neat thing about it is we have a shepherd who was a sheep. We have a great high priest who knows the feelings of our infirmity, who was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And we're going to peek at that for just a second. Well, maybe we won't peek at that today. Maybe we'll wait till next week. But there is something I want to peek at before we're done here. I don't know what your theology is and the process for when you find yourself in the situations of the storms of life and the tensions of life, but I do know about all of the things and all of the ways that I have processed those situations in my journey. And so many times I have forgotten my identity. I've forgotten my identity, and it's so important that you never forget your identity because there are certain things that need to be done, right, in life, certain things that need to be done. And if you go back to the person who is in an identity crisis, a person that we can see, I mean, I need to be able to get to the grocery store, but how I get there can look radically different if I forget who I am, okay? One day, I'm driving my Ford Courier to the grocery store. I'm picking up my groceries. I'm coming home. 2 weeks later, I'm riding a trike in a tutu, going to the grocery store to get my, I've forgotten who I am. It looks radically different, doesn't it? It makes a big difference when you forget who you are. It makes a big difference when you begin to try to live out of something you were never called to live out of. And again, this gonna get some kickback in you maybe, but that's okay. That's okay. I'll take it. I've tried to be the tough guy with the devil and fighting myself, wielding the word of God, praying in the spirit, stating my will of deliverance through God's promises. I've done all of that stuff. And some of that stuff needs to be done. None of these are wrong, except I lost my identity in the whole thing. When the devil and his cohorts begin to murmur in the adverse situations of life, all I need to know with surety, and all I need to repeat, and the fact that needs to be stated is this: the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I need not say one other thing to my enemy because he knows the full weight of the one who took the keys of death and hell and the grave and bought me, redeemed me, gave me life, and is now reinstating me in his purpose. Like when I'm the one standing there doing this, going, come on, devil, I'll show you who's boss. I think he laughs. Like Peter told us about people who live like that. He goes, they rail against angelic beings that they have no understanding of. He goes, even Michael, the archangel, didn't rail against Satan that way. He goes, who are you? You just need to remember who you are. You're just the sheep. Meh. The Lord is my shepherd. Man, there is power in that statement. when the devil comes a calling, that's all I need to know. Why are you talking to me? I'm not the owner. He's the owner. Go talk to him. Go talk to him, because you've got to go through the shepherd before you can get to the sheep, because I've placed myself under his care and I've placed myself in his flock and his eye is on me. You can't touch me without going through him. Not because I'm something. I'm just a sheep. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't think anything shuts the enemy down faster than the humility of the sheep submitted to the shepherd. And I don't think anything calls the shepherd to his feet faster than when one of his sheep go, and he sees the wolf. Because Jesus promised us, he said, oh, I've laid down my life for the sheep. I'm not like those guys that came before. Like, my Father loves me because I've laid down my life. And now, all power and all authority and all dominion have been given to him. Right? That's the shepherd I want to be under. There is so much that is being said when we quote, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, the re-embracing of my identity and relationship to God has produced a particular fondness for rehearsing Isaiah 57. Now, remember I said, it's not that we don't need to pray. It's not that we don't need to pray in the Spirit. It's not that we don't need to quote Scripture. But not as if I'm the shepherd, as if I am the sheep. Because when the sheep rehearse the Scripture, where are they looking? They're looking at the shepherd. The sheep aren't going, hey, I'm tough enough. I got this. Hey, shepherd, go back to bed. Like, we'll take care of the wolf. Hey, where'd Billy go? What's that crunching sound? No, when the sheep do these things, their eyes go to the shepherd. Isn't it amazing? It says all of those who lived by faith had their eyes fixed where? On God. And it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, they weren't a bunch of people who went out and made it happen. Matter of fact, it said they died without inheriting the promises. They were living as sheep. They were trusting in God. They were looking for a city whose maker and founder was God. And Scripture says that if they had had a heart to return to who they were and what they had plenty of opportunity. But as it was, they were looking for something better. The sheep are looking for something better. And when they look for something better, all good things come from the shepherd. Our eyes are on the shepherd. Hebrews 12, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Now, that verse declares my identity again. I am the sheep. Living in faith, looking to the shepherd. He is my shepherd. And so now as a sheep, like remembering and re-embracing, God, I'm just a sheep. Like it's the shepherd's job to worry. It's the sheep's job to follow. So I got my eyes on you. God, help me to follow. But as I follow, as I look at you, I begin to rehearse Isaiah 57. And I will read this to you from the Amplified. I like it. It's a little more wordy, but it really opens it up. And it says, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall show to be in the wrong. This peace and righteousness and security, this triumph over opposition, is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, the sheep. Those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced, this is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me, says God. That which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. So, you know, it's just kind of funny because when I was a kid, I was you know, 4 foot nothing and about 5 foot around. I always said if I'd have been an inch taller, I'd have been round, right? And so I got picked on a bit, wore glasses too. I had two strike two, right? Four-eyed little fat kid. So when, you know, and I would work through in my head, like how I was going to take care of these guys that were picking on me. This is what I was going to do. But what really happened most of the time is they'd come and start doing their thing. And so you would just kind of cover, right? You cover, and every once in a while, when you thought you had an opportunity, you take a swat. And I think that's kind of what happens to us with the devil is we see him go, oh, I'm going to take care of him. But really, we're just kind of covering, and we take a swat. And that's kind of how I treated Isaiah 54:17 for the longest time. Why is this happening? No weapon formed against me, I'll prosper. Right? It's just kind of, I hope I get you. I hope it's sticky. I hope you back up. I hope you hear what I'm saying. But this summer, when things would come and I would just, Lord is my shepherd. God, I got my eyes on you. You're in charge. Here's what you said. Because he's whispering in one ear and I'm kind of tired of listening. No weapon fashioned against me will prosper. God, I know you'll make that true. And every lie that he's speaking over here, you're going to prove to be false. This is my promise from you as a sheep of your pasture and under your care. God, I can't change this. I can't make it different, but I know you're watching. I know you care. I know you'll never leave me. I know you'll never forsake me. God, I'm doing all I know to stand. I know you haven't forgotten that I'm just a sheep. Show me your way so I can keep in step with you as you work this out. And the peace of God that passes all understanding would guard my heart and my mind. And Christ Jesus, you want to know why? Because I hadn't taken the weight of that thing upon myself. I remembered who I was, and I remembered who he was, and in the midst of that, he did what only he could do. And I rested in him. And Isaiah says, in rest and repentance is your salvation, but you would have none of it. You said, no, we will be swift. Because therefore your pursuers will be swift. And when we lose our identity, the devil has a heyday. When we remember who we really are, and just in that first line, my relationship to God, he is the shepherd. There's such a confidence in my heart when I say that. He is my shepherd. God, I am simply a sheep. So many things in this life are just beyond my pay grade. You have not asked me to figure it out. You've not asked me to change it. You've asked me to walk with you. And I'm kind of excited to show you something next week. I mean, listen, sheep are pretty witless. But yet when Jesus talked about the shepherd and the sheep, he said that the sheep would do his will without even knowing they were doing it. He says this simply because they were following him. Man, I'm like, God, I need that. I need that. I need to know that you are good enough at leading me that I can do your will when I don't even know I'm doing it. Because all these years I've struggled so hard and put so much energy into saying, oh, God, I want to do your will. I want to make you happy. And I run around and I'm out of the pasture and I'm stuck in the mud and I'm in the briar and I'm over here and I'm over there. And come and get me, God. The wolf's coming. I don't know where the rest of the sheep went. God goes, what? Have you forgotten who you are? Do you not know that you're just a sheep? Do you not know that I know the plan? Do you not know I don't have to tell you? Like Oswald Chambers, the utmost for his highest, I think it's January 3rd. He says, do you pray to know the will of God? He says, he's not going to show you. But what he will do is he will reveal himself. You want to know where that happens? Right here. Right now. In the moment is when I'm face to face with God, the shepherd and the sheep. And he's saying, just follow me. Just be the sheep. Let me, I died to be the shepherd. You don't have to die to be the shepherd. I died to buy you back. I paid the price. I've given you life. And now I'm reinstating you, but that is all that I do. What you do, stay in community and follow me. Pretty simple, huh? The Lord is my shepherd. Father, we thank you for your great promise to us. We thank you for your great love. God, we thank you that you have not made this hard. God, so many times we have forgotten who we are, and you said if we would come in repentance and rest, that we would experience your salvation. We're not all of that. God, forgive us for thinking we're all of that. Forgive us for not being dependent on you. God, would you take the things that you've placed in our heart? Would you show us how to scoop those things up and place them before you and say, Shepherd, lead me in the passions that are in my heart. Lead me in the things that burn on the inside. Forgive me for running ahead of you, for trying to be the shepherd, for trying to work things out in my own strength, for making all the plans myself and then asking you to show up and put a blessing on them. Oh, show me your way so that I can walk with you. God, you cause me to lie down. You cause me to feed on. You set the table. Let it be your goodness and mercy that's following me, not your goodness and mercy that I'm chasing. Spirit of Christ, would you come again and just clear away the smoke. Help us to see, God, the greatest place in the kingdom that we could reside is as your sheep, under your care, listening to your voice, responding, because you said that you go out ahead of us and lead us forth, and my sheep will know my voice. God, teach us to know your voice. Spirit of Christ, teach us to know your voice, not just on a Sunday, but God, in driving the nail and cutting the grass and cleaning up the mess and washing the laundry, talking to our neighbor and putting together boxes of turkeys, we would know your voice, the moving of your hand, and that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done right here on earth, right here in this flock, right here in this community, just like it is in heaven. We thank you for it. We thank you that you have made it hard. God, help us this week as we spend a week giving thanks. And I pray it wouldn't just be a week. I pray it'd be a lifestyle in our lives of giving thanks for who you are and who we are, all that you do, all that we don't have to do. And I pray that you would be formed in us, that your hope, the hope of the sheep, would abound into the lives of all those that you've placed within our sphere of influence. Everybody wants to be part of a healthy community. God, I pray we would be a healthy community under your care. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray and give you thanks. Amen. Amen.